is an exclusive. It concerns a local pensioner who, in his own son's words, has been condemned to a death sentence after lung cancer seen on an X-ray was not acted on for 9 months. It was put into a file and it wasn't noticed. Alan's family only became aware of the lesion on his right lung after a consultant asked about it during a routine medical examination 6 months after it had been first spotted. It then took the Northern Trust a further 3 months to act on that information, but by then it was too late for Alan. But that isn't the end of the story, as unbelievably, the Trust claim they cannot identify the person who made the initial mistake because their signature on the file is unintelligible. So we have a Trust in Northern Ireland who doesn't know who is inspecting their own records. Alan's son Trevor told me how this series of mistakes has affected his dad and his family.
My father had his 80th birthday at the end of June last year, and the week after that, exactly 1 week later, he took a stroke. He lived on his own. I phoned him that morning and I knew there was something wrong, so I went over to him and I found that he wasn't well. He lived in Garve at the time, I live in Ballycastle. And I knew to look at him that there certainly had something happened to him. So I put him in the car, took him down to Coleraine Hospital, where he was admitted. And okay, he stayed in A&E for about 10 hours before they found him a bed. And they'd done various tests on him. That was on the 2nd of July last year. Consequently, he told me and my father that he'd had a stroke. It was the brain that got it. He had no physical deformities, which left him a bit muddled and confused, things like that. So my father was 12 days, I think it was, in the hospital. And then he was discharged and came out to live with me. I had various follow-up things, and that was what we thought was wrong with my father. But we're concerned in the house that he kept losing weight. And then he had another follow-up procedure that had to be cancelled earlier in the year. That was carried out in December of last year. And during pre-assessment for that, Mr. Valco, he went through all my father's records and X-rays that were taken in July. And he asked me what were the hospitals doing about the lesion discovered on my father's right lung. I said, I wasn't told about it. I haven't a clue what you're talking about.
That must have been quite a shock for you at that stage, because your dad had been in hospital back in July. This was July 2011.
Yeah.
And that was about his stroke. But while he was in the hospital, they took all types of assessments of him. And
yes,
they took X-rays of him. But they didn't at any stage tell you that anything had appeared in those X-rays?
No, nothing at all. No.
So here you then are. What month is this that you speak to Mr. Dr. Valco?
December.
So this is 6 months later.
6 months later, he asked me what Coleraine Hospital were doing about the lesion that was discovered on my father's lung.
And what did you say?
Well, I was just shocked. I didn't know what he was talking about, because I thought, well, if he's seen it, someone else must have seen it, so
it must be
okay. Is it important or is it not? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what happens next?
Well, he consequently gave me a letter to take to my father's GP. I took it down to the GP. She said it mustn't be that important or very serious, because they surely would have followed it up in the hospital. So then that took another further 3 months.
Another 3 months?
Yeah. That took from January right into March, from January to March until the scan was done on my father's chest. And then that showed up that there was a tumour on his upper right lung.
So this is the tumour that had been indicated in July 2011, and it took them until March 2012 to realise that it had been sitting on an X-ray. And they mistook it. They filed it away in error.
Yeah, what their words was that someone had someone signed and filed my father's chart without a request for a follow-up CT scan. And their answers are that they're unable to identify the signature of the person who read the report.
Who's saying this? Who is saying this?
the Northern Health and Social Care Trust.
They're unable to identify who signed your father's X-ray.
Yes. Uh-huh.
What do you mean they're unable to identify it?
Well, they
presumably it's not just somebody off the street comes in and signs an X-ray. There's a signature on it, and surely the Northern Health Trust have a... Surely they would be required to have a tight enough record procedure that they would know who's looking at X-rays and who's not.
Well, we had a meeting last week with my father's consultant at the time that this happened, a Dr. Tracy. He said that they cannot distinguish whose the signature was. I said, well, on any one given day, I said, there can't have been hundreds of people who had access to that X-ray. I said, it must be a limited number of people. Well, he conceded that, and he also conceded that they have a copy of everyone who ever works or worked there. They have a copy of their signature on file, but yet they didn't even consider to go and see, could they compare these signatures? Well, there's something totally wrong, though. Okay, Dr. Tracy offered his apologies high up and low down, he says, but he said someone done this and he could not give me an answer as to who.
So what has been the ultimate impact on your father?
Well,
a tumour that should have been spotted, was spotted in July 2011, nothing done about it.
Well,
it's quite incredible, until March 2012. That 9-month delay, did it have any impact on your dad? Did they tell him he would be okay with the tumour?
No, my father actually has been given a lifespan. He was given this in April, of between 6 to 9 months. They said that it got to that stage where it has actually progressed and moved into glands and his chest and that, and it will spread further, that there's nothing they could do now. So, you know, the man's just left in limbo and this death sentence went over him. Okay, he is 81 now, just passed in the last few days. But Dr. Tracy, in his own words last week, he said, we probably could have prolonged your father's life, he said, if this had been acted upon last July, a year ago. It just leaves, you know, a bad feeling and a bad taste, you know what I mean? And unfortunately, I have to live every day with it and with my father until whatever time that he does close his eyes and he goes.
And you've got this horrible knowledge now that if they hadn't have cocked up, your dad would have had a better chance of survival, or certainly a longer life.
He definitely would have had a longer life, but maybe what it might have been a better class of life than what the man has now. Now he's on morphine, he's on another type of painkiller, he's on different sedatives and things to try and get him through the latter stages of his life now.
It is worth me saying at this point that the doctors who you have mentioned so far, the doctors who you have named, they are not at fault, because it was not their duty to read the notes on this X-ray. However, who did read the notes on the X-ray?
Well, that's a note.
Who did miss the notes on the X-ray? How on earth are we in a situation in Northern Ireland? And look, mistakes will happen within the medical profession. And I know that's easy for me to say. I'm very, very difficult, Trevor, for you to accept because it's your dad.
Yeah.
But human error will happen. But the situation that we're currently in Northern Ireland is that someone has made a grave error and that person can't even be identified. So they could be making this error tenfold.
Well, that's it. No.
They could be repeating this error, and the Northern Trust cannot identify someone who has missed indicating a tumour on a lung.
No, that gets me, Stephen, because on one certain day, they knew when the X-ray was taken. They must have a time on it, so they knew X number of people would have access to that. So it doesn't take rocket science to figure out, OK, there's 10 people, go and check those 10 signatures against that one and see who it is.
Now, the BBC has obtained a copy of a letter which has been written from Valerie Jackson, who's the Director of Acute Hospital Services, on behalf of Sean Donaghy, the Chief Executive. And Valerie Jackson writes the following. Regrettably, the chest X-ray report was signed and filed in your father's chart without a request for a follow-up CT scan being made at that time. We are unable to identify the signature of the person who read the report before it was filed. However, we can conclude that the signature does not belong to Dr. McCulloch, Dr. Namby or Dr. Tracy. Consequently, Dr. Tracy's clinical team were not aware of the report or of the need for the recommended CT scan, which should have been actioned during your father's inpatient stay.
That basically says it all, that they just cannot identify who done it. How many times has it been done? Is it still being done?
And has there been any reaction from the Trust at a higher level? Are they identifying this to the Public Health Board in Northern Ireland, to their bosses in Northern Ireland, as a crisis incident, as something that needs urgent evaluation? What are they doing about it?
They haven't informed me that they're doing anything about it. This is the only thing that I've got from them, is this.
I have one other question about this. I have many questions about this. But just to clarify the timeline of this again, your father goes into hospital under the Northern Health Trust care for the first time in July 2011, right?
Uh-huh.
And then there's a cock-up. And there's clearly a note saying that your father needs another scan and someone files it away improperly and the Northern Trust don't even know who has filed that away. They don't know who has signed it, which is quite incredulous. Now, in December 2011, the mistake is noticed, okay?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Here's my next question about the Northern Trust. How come when they notice a mistake, and this is a potential tumour, and therefore speed is of the essence, and they have improperly kept your father waiting for 6 months, how come when they notice the mistake in December 2011, it takes them another 3 months? It takes them until March 2012 to get your dad the scan that they should have done months earlier. How on earth did that happen?
Well, that seems to be the breakdown between one different section of the hospital and another.
Like, so this is two cock-ups?
Yeah.
Two?
Uh-huh.
On each occasion, dramatically decreasing your father's chance against the cancer?
Yeah, uh-huh. No, they did assess my father and they said if they could have given treatment, he was healthy enough to have went through chemotherapy, radiotherapy and all that. But they said because it had spread so far that it would be a waste of time. They said he was actually fit enough and healthy enough to have went through treatment had it been caught at the right time.
You know, there are very, very serious questions of a major public interest to ask of the Northern Trust this morning.
Yeah.
And let me list the questions very, very precisely and carefully. One, what process allows someone to misfile an urgent need for another scan? Two, what on earth is happening within the Northern Trust that a medical professional is able to read an X-ray report and the Northern Trust doesn't know who that medical person is? Like, it is quite incredible that we have someone working in the Northern Trust and they don't know who they are. It is actually incredible. Three, after the mistake is identified in December, and the Northern Trust realise that they have dramatically decreased a citizen's right to fight against cancer. They've dramatically decreased his chances. Do they act appropriately at that point in December 2011? Do they act speedily? Do they make sure, because this man has needlessly waited 6 months, do they make sure he has an urgent scan? No, they leave him waiting another 3 months. Mm-hmm. Why? Who took that decision? What processes are allowing this to happen?
Yeah, well, that's it. Those questions need to be answered. And unfortunately, I have asked them and I have not been given answers to them.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I'll be asking them. And if it takes me to go down to the chief executive's office, I'll be asking them and I'll be getting answers.
Well, I hope you do, Stephen.
Well, listen, because clearly you're contacting us not so much just on behalf of your dad, because unfortunately it's too late for your dad.
Yeah.
Trevor, you're contacting us so this doesn't happen to other people.
Well, that's it. Or has it happened to other people? I don't know. That's the important thing, though. If my father hadn't this other procedure to have went through, would it ever have been found out?
I just want to emphasise this morning as we close here, this is not a story about human error, because the human error in this story is a tragedy. But I think, Trevor, well, do you understand that human beings will make mistakes, unfortunately? So this isn't so much about the individual mistake in missing your dad's notes. It's about the processes, which means the person that made the mistake, we don't even know who they are. The Northern Trust has allowed someone to be in their building to care for your dad, and they don't even know that person's name?
No, they can't be identified, no.
So therefore they can't approach that person and say, can you give us an assurance that, you know, you're not using the wrong process. Can you check if this has happened to 5 patients, 10 patients, 20 patients? Uh-huh. They can't even do that.
No.
I think this is an issue for the chief medical officer. I actually think this is that important.
Well, no, as today's society, and especially what's happened in some other trusts, no, there needs to be openness and transparency about it. There's no point trying to brush it under the carpet.
Tell me how this has left you.
Sometimes it makes you feel cross and angry. And if you look at my father and you're giving him all these tablets, you know, to get him through his final weeks or months, we just don't know. And you think, no, why? And the one thing, though, sitting reading here at the moment, the Northern Health and Social Care Trust, their commitment, as reinforced by their mission statement, is to provide for all the quality of service we expect for our families and ourselves. If that's what they expect for their own families, goodness knows what the rest of us have to put up with.
What happens now?
I don't know. We just have to go through my father's life until it ends and try and become as comfortable as possible.
Trevor, I'm sure this is an incredibly difficult time for you. Can I thank you, first of all, for bringing this story to me? And can I promise you that while I cannot do anything to help your dad, I promise you we will get you answers.
Okay, thank you.
All right?
Yeah, thanks very much, Stephen.
Thank you.
Thank you, bye.